time and for their resources. And to me, that means that simply putting computers in school, although it's noble, is not a sufficiently thought-out strategy. There really needs to be some effort to integrate it with the regular curriculum of the school and to introduce teachers to it in a way that teachers understand that it's not simply something extra, that some special, a useful thing for objects that they're used to teaching. Terry.
I've actually got a question provoked by this woman's intervention back here, her criticism of John Perry Barlow's comment earlier. To caricature it a bit, if John's suggestion was similar, and you're not, this descriptive disagreement is a normative question about whether this is or not. So take, by way of analogy, the development of software programming industries. It was a strategy pursued by Israel and currently being pursued by software development industries, local software development industries. Initially, the plan designed in the United States and to some extent Western Europe as a stepping stone toward the business software development community. Seems to have been successful to a large extent already in Israel. Well, underneath that strategy is an aspiration. The aspiration is the presumption that a healthy technology-related industry, local, not just local in the sense of Exeter providing laborers for a system designed elsewhere, but local in the originating sense. So, the internet culture and internet culture is. Is it desirable or undesirable to observe in a particular situation that ethnically indigenous or not? So here's one anecdote. I'm even more of an amateur in this culture than John, but I was here, as Max Fontes knows, at his invitation lecture here in Rio to a group of judges and people training to be judges. And this was the moment when the United States, and I got to the point in the lecture where we discussed locations of Napster and audience, I said, well, how many people have used the Napster system? Half of the 700 people in the audience raised their hand. And then, which is actually a higher level than you would observe in a comparable in the United States, and subsequent empirical studies confirmed that of computer internet users, a greater percentage were employing peer-to-peer systems. Then subsequently asked the question, well, to informal, is it for? Is it to exchange Brazilian music? And the answer was no. Well, it was not to exchange Brazilian music. It was primarily to exchange popular musical recordings from the United States. Well, is this an attractive or unattractive scenario? Is this something that one should aspire to or resist? And it seems to me ambiguous. I don't know what the answer is.
By the way, I think that part of based on the assumption that I was being critical when I was talking about my sense that Brazil was somewhat isolated from the rest of the world. I'm not. This is not a pejorative assessment at all, because I actually believe. I mean, first of all, I love this culture and I love the complexity of this culture, or the variety of the local cultures that you have. If you were being assaulted by generic and American culture to the extent that many others, which wipes it, so personally, I don't think of it in a negative way. I think of it as being, and in connection with Terry's remark, there's a very close software. Most of the good programmers I know are also music. And you've got a culture that is as musical as this one. The potential for having great programmers, I would say, is very, but they would write Brazilian programs.
Thank you. Ok. É pouco mais ambíguo sobre a indústria de software, no caso brasileiro. Eu acho que vale a pena ser dito, porque a indústria no Brasil, o ano passado, foi da ordem de a indústria de software interna no Brasil. Esse software consumido no Brasil. Foi de 5 bilhões, é algo como 4 vezes o mercado indiano, mercado interno indiano. Esses 5 bilhões de dólares de tecnologia de informação no Brasil, foram produzidos no Brasil. 1 bilhão foi importado. No Brasil, nós temos a capacidade de elicitar os requisitos de sistemas de informação e desenvolver sistemas, e alguns deles, como o software brasileiro de finanças, bancos em geral, informatização de bancos, de imposto de renda, de eleições, software de controle que está dentro da equipe da Brabham, por exemplo, na Fórmula 1. Observando um número de aspectos, o problema brasileiro de informatização é tão interessante que nunca nos demos ao trabalho de dizer, por que a gente está vindo software para os Estados Unidos? A sério, a sociedade Softex no Brasil, que é a sociedade que era responsável pela promoção do comércio exterior de software no Brasil. E uma das coisas que a gente encontrava nas empresas, por que eu tenho que aprender essa história todinha de vender para os Estados Unidos? Se eu já faço negócio aqui, minha empresa está indo tão bem. Tem alguma coisa que é diferente no Brasil? Porque o Brasil não é exatamente Israel, onde as oportunidades de mercado são limitadas. Todas, e é bom nós brasileiros não nos esquecermos disso, grandes e complexas, porque esse é um país, necessariamente uma ilha, mas certamente um conjunto de arquipélagos.
So we have just a few minutes left, and on a few of these other subjects, just to give you my point of view, after all, that's what I'm here for, so I'd like to offer. I would like to emphasize what seems to me to be to bridge the digital divide. If there was one criteria that I would hold up above all others in terms of assessing a strategy, it's whether it leaves in place with respect to whatever the project is, take place. You might describe something called a developing nations complex, where nations that want to move into the internet environment think to get some consultants from the developing nations. Basically, that's an outflow to the developing nation. And the consultant comes in and puts forward a program which very often involves purchasing software and hardware from the developing nation. And there's a trap that lies in it. If you're not yourself able to sustain it, maintain it, and service it, you are increasing your dependence rather than establishing independence. And so time and again there's been this process of aspirations, for example, to tech up government, to rationalize government process. Well, how does one do it? One goes to a big American consulting firm, assess what's needed, and they recommend some substantial integration, and then money to support that comes from the Inter-American Bank or some source such as that. And when it's all often not nearly what it turns out to be, very hard to lead, even in a flexible company. But in a government, it's extremely difficult. It turns out that the software is itself typically that is in a kind of arms race with software, where as the hardware gets better, there's more processing capacity, and more requirement, you can find yourself caught. So the opposite of that thought, the antidote, comes in the other direction, is the process of bridging the digital divide. That's one, that knowledge transfer. If there's no transfer that takes place, capable of self-sustaining, and it's quite possible that more harm has been done than good. How many times have non-profit organizations come in to developing areas with the idea of doing something good, putting out some money, which attracts talent, starting up some project, which turns out not to be self-sustaining, and then they run out of enthusiasm. And what happens to the project? Closes. You're actually worse off. Thinking about digital divide, there's two aspects of it that I would want to emphasize to you. One form of digital divide is between developed nations and less developed nations. And the strategy that's typically employed for approaching that divide is ICT development, technology development in the developed nation, but at the rich end, at the rich end. You would naturally go to where it's going to be taken up most easily. And when money comes in from the outside, it attracts talent to it, which could be and often should be engaged in independent indigenous king up money from NGOs or whatever